I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston.
You don't know when the boats are coming. Sometimes the boats come in at night. Sometimes the wind is blowing and they come in more to the north, sometimes more to the south, and everybody is running around trying to respond to this. Sometimes the medically trained NGOs might be nearby. Sometimes they're not.
That's correspondent Jean Carstensen on the island of Lesbos in Greece, where the rubber dinghies filled with desperate migrants continue to land every day. The migrants get help from many relief groups there, and Jean tells me that on the island, there's an acronym soup of relief groups.
It is very striking to me how many individuals, tourists, small organizations are involved in this.
So is it the small NGOs that are carrying most of the burden of work here and directed by the big NGOs?
They are carrying most of the burden of the work, and I don't think they're exactly directed by the bigger NGOs. I think it's a coordination effort every single day.
So there in Molivos at the port, you spoke with Fahima Rakhmansi. She's a volunteer for an NGO called Islamic Relief USA, born in Afghanistan, now lives in San Francisco. And she speaks Farsi, which I know is spoken in Afghanistan, Iran, other places. Let's hear her describing how the refugees react when they're greeted by someone who actually speaks their language.
I see that relief in their face. They're like, oh my God, we have someone here. They call it Namayenda. Basically, our representative. They're like, oh my God, we have our representative here that you can speak and you can tell us like what's going on and where we can go. Because when they are off the boat, all of these people running towards them, and they're like, okay, are we going back to Afghanistan? Are they going to send us back to Afghanistan? What's going on here?
Yeah, she sounds really affable, the kind of person you'd want to meet if you land on Lesbos after a long trip. What about big players like the UNHCR, the Red Cross, International Rescue Committee? Do they have volunteers like Rakhmansi?
Yes, they do. I think some of them have paid staff and some of them have volunteers, just like Islamic Relief USA. They have one paid representative there and the rest of them are volunteers. So this crisis is attracting a lot of volunteers from all over the world.
Let's hear again from Rakhmansi, Jean. She's talking here about what motivates her, and in it she takes us back to fleeing the war in her native Afghanistan and arriving in neighboring Pakistan.
I remember I was sitting in the balcony. I closed my eyes, and I wanted to see what I can hear. When I closed my eyes, it was so quiet. All I could hear was like people's voices. And that's when I was like, oh my God, I don't hear bomb explosion. I don't hear rocket explosion. I don't hear kids crying. I don't hear women's crying.
Wow, she's so indebted and overcome with emotion just remembering that. And that was 10 years ago. Is that how many of the volunteers feel?
Well, I think the volunteers I spent time with at Islamic Relief, the woman we just heard and also another woman from Iraq, they both have their own memories of being refugees. And so this is a level of empathy that I found very moving, and it also makes them incredibly skilled at greeting these people.
Jean, you also spoke at the port with a man named Abdullah Shawki. He's 32. He's a regional director for Islamic Relief USA, born in Southern California to Egyptian parents. And he was telling you about a funeral that he had to attend yesterday. Who was the funeral for?
This was the funeral of an infant who died on October 6th, the child of a 20-year-old Syrian mother. They were in a boat coming across towards Molivos, and the child developed hypothermia. The boat was rescued by the Coast Guard, and the Coast Guard did everything they could to save the infant, and they could not.
All right, here's Abdullah Shawki describing what those parents were going through.
To be in a foreign land and to have this particular tragedy strike, and then you've got to bury your child in a strange place and tell yourself that you're never really going to be able to come visit the gravesite again. And so that was very surreal.
Yeah, a surreal and tragic experience. He also told you how this experience changed him.
Yes, he does disaster relief in the United States. He goes to places in Texas where there have been hurricanes. But this is the first time that he's done it internationally. And he told me that the kind of problems that he deals with in the United States are really nothing compared to what these refugees are dealing with. And like the Iraqi volunteer and the Afghani volunteer, he speaks Arabic, and so he has a lot of direct contact with these people and hears the details of their stories.
Correspondent Jean Carstensen on the island of Lesbos in Greece. Her work is supported by the Pulitzer Center on Crisis Reporting. Good to have you on The World again, Jean. Thank you.
Thank you, Marco.